Blog Talk Radio.
WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go, bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Again, our omnipotent and powerful God wrote our destiny book. He wrote our story to reveal to mankind another aspect of His glory. In this book, He means for our bodies to be in its original state. The enemy's plan is to cause the bride to distort the temple and cause us to be less efficient in the kingdom. Call the original state show. Challenges the bride to take our temples back, gain self-control, and be all that God wrote in your book. Give God the pen and live your original state. Hello, bride. We would like to invite you to SheNet Global's 2017 convention in Atlanta, Georgia. Hear Dr. Judy and Ms. Magda talk about it.
Oh, praise the Lord. Dr. Judith. So excited. I mean, I'm getting so pumped to be a part of this because I know there's so many women out there that have never had anyone to empower them. So would you please tell everyone how to find out, you know, more about the conference, where it's
going to
be, and you've already expressed.
Well, Bri, we're going to go ahead and stop that commercial because we actually have the one and only live with us tonight. Give it up for Miss Magda Odendahl. How you doing, Miss Magda?
Oh, it's such a wonderful privilege for me to be sitting here next to Dr. Judy and have Dr. June there, all mighty women of God. And it's a privilege for me to just quickly share with you that this convention is really meant to get together businesswomen and women with a heart for the marketplace here in the United States. For many years, almost 20 years now, this year, I've been involved in developing businesswomen and businesses and women in marketplace empowerment all over the world across 170 nations. And this coming March, we want to do exactly that for the women of the United States who have supported developing countries for so many years. And it's time for us to also bring them in and engage them in what they have always supported. Why should they come is what is it that you have to give? And this is really the opportunity to bring to the table and take to the nations what you have to give besides money. So we're not going to take any money from you. We don't want any money from you. We want women there that has a heart for business and in marketplace ministry All we want you is to join us for the convention, pay for the hotel, stay with us the whole 5 days so that we can work on the plan at hand and send you home with the plan at hand and to engage with business, use business as a vehicle to take the gospel message out there and just be a powerful instrument and a financial source voice, a financial force out there, and to make a difference in the world through business. And that's in short what this convention is about.
Well, let me give
let her give some of the amazing, number one, they can refer to her website, but also some of these speakers. I'm telling you, it is going to be transformational, I promise you. And even today, as we were meeting with people to discuss part of some of the programs and the development, what was the vision, just the whole thing, as I was sitting there, the Lord spoke to me that the women that come to this, there are going to be quantum appointments that will be life-changing. And I totally believe to have this caliber of, I'm so humbled to be a part of it, but to have the caliber of women that are not just city or state shakers, these are world and nation shakers. So if Marva could just briefly just tell the audience some of the people that are going to be there very quickly.
For example, we will have Jill Lowe there. She is a businesswoman from Singapore. I met her when she attended one of the classes that I presented in Hawaii many years ago, probably early 2000s, and how she grew her business across the world, across Asia. And this would be the first time that she would give back some of that investment to the United States, sharing her story of success. How did she take her business and eventually became one of the key main editors for a magazine in Paris, and now also has her own magazine worldwide. So our speakers are really people with a global experience, not only talk about it, but lived it and really walked the dusty road of development across the globe. Audrey Chow, another woman who has an event organizing company. I met her in Thailand when I was teaching there, and her story and how she manages to bring together the two dynamics of business and ministry, which we call the undivorceable twin. So our speakers are really people with a global experiential background, and with really the dynamics to open and cause a paradigm shift. You know, we sometimes think that here in the U.S., what can we actually teach people? Because the United States are probably the most educated country in the world, the most advanced country in the world. So what we want to achieve during this convention is to sit with every person and say, you can do all these many things and you are empowered. So, but let's take that one thing that God has given you, which you can use on a global platform. Mm. And what is that one thing that you can take? It reminds me of different restaurants where you can go and you get all these menus and you can choose about 30, 40, 50 different meals, but then you get that executive menu of that executive restaurant, and they specialize in 3 or 4 lines, but they make that so good that everybody wants to go to this executive restaurant. And this is what's going to happen during this convention. The fee really is just to pay the hotel for 5 days to stay and food and using the facilities there, but other than that, this convention is really for empowerment, and we really, really want to engage women of the USA. In closing, I just would like to say, for the last 20 years, I've been involved with women around the world, and I'm talking about professionals and businesswomen and women in the marketplace, ministries, and each and every one has a testimony, not only of their life, but the impact that was caused by some or other investment of some or other American entity, American woman, American ministry. The roots is so deep and wide that women and people of the United States has walked, and within all these developing countries. So it is fantastic to have this opportunity to come together and to engage and to come to a place where you say, but I have something to give. And I was asked the question today, would you please invite somebody like, and I love Joyce Myers. She's an amazing woman of God. And I listened as the question was asked today, would you engage someone like Joyce Myers in this convention? And you know, my answer was no. Not because she's not an amazing woman, not because she's not an amazing person, but that's not the target market we're looking for. What we're looking for is the individual here in the United States that has something to give, who could potentially be the next international Joyce Myers. So we are not going to do the name dropping thing. We are really have amazing speakers. In fact, we have a pool of speakers of over 400 women across 170 nations who are professionals who are really very successful in their businesses and in their ministries, who really wants to be a part of this move. And we want to engage with the women in the United States. And I'm very passionate about this, and no, we're not going to have big names there. We are looking to expose the small players who actually have so much to give. So my question is, if you want to come to this convention, bring what you have and begin to give that. And I'm not talking about bring money. That's not what we're asking. What is it that is within you that you have to give?
Well, Marga, I've got a loving this on Facebook.
Hey, I was telling everybody about you, Dr. June. Everybody. Yeah. So your name is already being, I'm saying, you got to meet Dr. June. But that's why it's so exciting that we can gather together through different means of media. And we don't want to take up any more of your time. We want to get right on to the prayer thing. But you are very special, and we've been telling everybody about you. So just give you a thumbs up on it.
Yes. Thank you, Magda.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's an honor to serve.
Okay, well, we'll move on. Listen, Dr. Judy, you are the prophet in the house, woman. Talk to us a minute about this initiative. What is God saying to us today?
Well, let's go back just a couple of, probably about 6 weeks ago, I was speaking to you about a book and got you the book, The Circle Maker by Pastor Mark Batterson, an amazing man of God out of Washington, D.C. And from reading his book, we find out that one of the saddest things in the whole wide world is prayers that God wants to answer that are never prayed. And
come
so
on.
You know, as we begin to look at this and study this, and I just felt led, that's when you and I discussed exactly about the draw the circle on the 40-day prayer challenge. And as I begin to look at this and think about the things that Jesus himself experienced, why did Jesus go and fast 40 days and nights? Because it was a place of empowerment. It was a place that awakened his destiny. You know, we don't need any regrets in life. We want to be able to fulfill all that we have been called and destined to do. And as I was studying and preparing for all of this, the Lord gave me a word. I first started out just saying, Lord, help me to consistently to consecrate, commit without procrastination in all walks of my life, spiritually, physically, et cetera, help me to go and experience this fast. And there's many types of fast that you can go on. The main thing, it's not so much what you fast, is that you stay consistent and committed to it unto the Lord. And I am convinced more than ever, June, that fasting is the gateway through which God releases his supernatural power in our lives, just like he did Jesus, just like, you know, the Heavenly Father did. And so I want to challenge, there's many things that we could read and discuss, and, you know, you may share a little bit about what we talked about earlier today, once again, I've seen people, there's many, many authors that have come out with, Jensen Franklin has an amazing book on fasting, the 21-day fast. Some people fast 10 days, 3 days, you name it. You know, there's different ones that they do, and it's okay. I've seen people get on fast and maybe get to the eighth day and just, you know, feel, get under conviction because they couldn't go. That's not what it's about. It's about the posture of the heart and the willingness. And I truly do believe that there is something, a gate. Everyone that consecrates himself, regardless of if it's juices or the, like the Daniel's fast, whatever, when they consecrate themselves unto the Lord, to prayer, to fasting, and to the study of the word, that is going to open a gate to their life to take them to another level. And I believe that this is a part of it. The 40-day prayer challenge is going to change our lives. In fact, I believe the next 40 days have the potential to dramatically alter the rest of our life. I'm anticipating. I've got expectancy. And I believe that God is going to begin a good work in every one of us that take your most valuable possession in the whole wide world is your time given to God. It's not, you know, having $1 million in the bank. It's not having multiple titles behind your name. No, it's your time with God. And we're in a position right now that we have got to say, okay, I'm going to go for it. And what's so great about your program is that we've got each other to encourage one another. We've got each other to say, June, I'm having a weak day. Help! And what would you say?
Right?
Well, we're excited.
Well, I'm very excited, too. And listen, Brad, I posted this morning the first page in the book. This is the book we're reading called Draw the Circle. I know as you're watching live on Facebook, it's backwards, but it's Mark Batterson, and we're following Dr. Judy, we're following this book that's like a 40-day prayer challenge. Every day is a different challenge. So what we discussed today, Brad, what we're going to do in the first step is we are going to meet every day, and we are going to pray on a prayer line every morning, just as Mark Patterson suggests, 7:14 a.m. We're going to start doing prayer meetings at 7:14 a.m., and I will post that phone number on WATB Radio's Facebook wall. I will post the phone number every morning as we do our phone call so that we can come together, pray for one another, encourage each other, and give praise reports. Because let me tell you, Dr. Judy, do you mind if I go ahead and share the praise report of what happened to me today?
Absolutely. Go for it.
Well, you know, yesterday we started this fasting, and some of us are doing straight liquid fast. Some of us are doing the Daniel fast. And like she said, it's just whatever the Holy Spirit convicts you to do, that's the thing to do. We're just following the Lord the first 40 days of this year. So yesterday I started, and I was really tempting because I went out to eat with my church, and they all went to a Mexican restaurant, which is my favorite. So I still did the Daniel fast in honor of what the Lord told me. So I just ordered a soup and a salad. So I made it through the day, ate what was right. So the next day, which was today, I'm still on plan, still on track. So I'm in the living room, I'm doing Zumba, and I'm working out. And all of a sudden, I have this epiphany. Wow, I just feel so supercharged, like my spirit man. I could feel that my spirit man was alive. I could feel the clarity and the focus already here, and I've only been in the second day of my fasting. So I get finished working out. I go in the kitchen, do what I got to do in the kitchen. When I come back in the living room, I almost fall on my face because the presence of the Lord was so thick in there. I fell on my knees, and I prayed just like the book said. I prayed a circle around me. I said, God, let revival start in my heart. Clean my heart, oh God. That's true revival, is when it reflects upon yourself. And we ask God, the Holy Spirit, to search our own heart. Man, I was weeping. I had an impact with the Lord time of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. You know, Dr. Judy and Lindsay, you can't pay enough money for that. You can't pay enough for the experience that you have when you're in the presence of the Lord. And when I come up from there, I was like, wow, I am super fired up on just my second day of fasting. You know, Dr. Judy, can you explain to the audience what happens to us when we fast?
Well, one of the things that the logistics of it, you may ask yourself, why should I do the prayer challenge? Who should I do the prayer challenge with? You know, just like you said, the Second Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You may be saying, well, you know what? I don't have any sin in my life. But this is, it's more than just the sin issue in people's lives. I truly believe, June, and I know that this nation, I believe the church as never before. I travel from the West Coast to the East Coast to the northern borders all the way to the southern. We saw the church for the first time in the history of this nation since I've been born, and I'm 66. We saw the church rise up and pray out of a need of desperation. And look what things are taking place. So I believe that this prayer challenge, one of the first things that you've got to go in expecting and believing. In other words, I would write down five reasons. What is the purpose? But one of the greatest things, and this will be, I totally have believed in fasting and prayer all my life, but it's that we can do this with someone. We should ask ourselves, who should we do the prayer challenge with? You may want to consider, you know, something that's church-wide. Well, right now we're doing it even a step further. We're doing it Facebook-wide. It could be a small group, but you've got to realize you can do this challenge with people. Don't do it alone. So we're going to have people that are going to be agreeing. When I get up in the morning before we get on our call, I'm going to say, Lord, let every individual expect you to move, expect a breakthrough, and I pray that you give all of us the grace to go forward. Too often we pray for something only once and then completely forget about it. So when God answers, we fail to give him the glory because we forgot what we asked for. That's one reason we need to journal every day. Like, I've already started my journaling, and the three things that the Lord told me on this is I'm going to have accountability because we're going to be talking every day. We're going to have strength because what does the Word of God say if two or three people come and touch and agree on any one thing? What does the Word of God say? One will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. Just suppose within the first 2 weeks, we have a couple of hundred people tuning in because we're going to be encouraging them. We're not going to tell them what to do. Everyone has to kind of work out their own plan for this. But to know that we're together anticipating, expecting, and we don't have to know everybody's own personal purposes of the reason why they're doing it because God knows, and that's all that matters. So we want to stay accountable, and I believe through the strength and the unity, we're going to see something supernatural. I'm here to prophesy, Dr. June Knight, that before the end of these 40 days, we are going to see a manifestation, and we are going to see people give testimonies of, hey, you know what? I really wasn't all the way in, but I got all the way in, and all of a sudden, my family, my son that was away from God is restored. My sister's married. We're getting ready to get a divorce, and all of a sudden they're restored. So we've got to expect. That's part of crucifying the flesh. And the last thing, I believe, as never before, this time of prayer and of fasting and of just coming together is going to be a means of the power of the Holy Spirit infusing us and empowering us to believe and to know that 2017, there will be no regrets, and we will fulfill the will of God. the Lord spoke to me, 2017 is a year of great and mighty exploits. What did Jesus do? You know, I've been speaking this for a couple of months, but today as I was studying about what Jesus did and the journey that he embarked upon with miracles, signs, and wonders after the fast, June, I don't want to read about John 14. I want to be John 14 because we're supposed to be able to do greater work.
Yes.
And we want to give him all the glory. So that's what I believe. I'm ready, Freddie.
Yes, amen. Now let's go to Lindsay for a minute. How you doing, Lindsay?
I'm doing good.
Hey, Lindsay, the one. Now, y'all, just to let all of you know from Blog Talk Radio, Lindsay is right outside of Houston, and Dr. Judy is in Atlanta, Georgia, and I am outside of Nashville, Tennessee. So, Miss Lindsay, if you don't mind telling us why you decided to join this prayer initiative with us.
Well, I decided to do this. Normally, every year, I take at least a couple weeks out of the end of the last year to seek the Lord on the new year. But it so happens that my schedule was quite busy this last month, so I'm choosing this month to seek the Lord for this year and what he has in store, not only for the body of Christ, but personally, because I'm in a new season myself. And so I'm seeking direction as to, you know, what the Lord is wanting to do ministry-wise, but also personally with me. And so that's what why I chose to do this and just getting closer to him. You know, that's the main thing, seeking his face and getting closer to him to hear his voice clearly for this day and this hour.
Now, Miss Lindsay, I know you're a traveling revivalist. You speak at different meetings and stuff. And you've also done these fastings before. How has fasting impacted your life?
Well, to be honest with you, June, this last year, the Lord told me in 2016, he says, this is going to be a year for you for prayer. And had I known what he meant by that, I know now, you know. So, but that year of prayer for 2018, I have done more fasting and prayer in that year than I have in my whole entire Christian walk with the Lord. And I know that during prayer and fasting, a lot of times, you know, at the very beginning, yeah, we struggle. We struggle to press in and press through to hear the voice of the Lord for the hour and what he's speaking to us personally. But I can tell you that as time goes on, you begin to hear him a lot clearer. You begin to hear what direction that he's taking you, who you're going to get involved with, the things he's wanting you to do. Just like Dr. Judy was saying, great exploits for 2017. I believe that we are in a time and season for the body of Christ that are going to begin to do and manifest, demonstrating the Word of God, not just reading it, but demonstrating it, with its power here on earth in this
Amen.
Year.
Yes, what do you
and
say about that, Dr. Beauty?
And I think she's spot on. And I think that it's we're living in a time where I just know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm sure both of you would agree, there's sometimes in life that you step out by faith, but there's, like, even since I've been here and started the consecration and the fasting and everything, it was like the clarity of hearing the Holy Spirit. I believe that this fast that we're on, this prayer journey that we're on, there are going to be some miraculous things happen. Now, could we still be blessed throughout the year and everything? Absolutely. But I believe 2016 has positioned us for some, he told me that the church, the body of Christ, we would finish 2016 strong. I can sense your sister on the phone. She's a strong woman of God. She's willing to lay it all down, to do whatever it takes to hear from God, to receive from God. And that's what's going to happen through this fast. That's amazing. And I do believe that we're going to see some things take place. Is it going to be hard? Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime you're going to go into the enemy's territory, or anytime you're going to go into the presence of God and allow the glory and to be infused with a greater character, with more fruit, with doors opening, with seeking God to fulfill your destiny, the enemy will try to throw you every kind of curve. However, it is going to be worth the while to remain faithful, consistent, persistent. That's one of the things that Billy Graham's daughter, Anne Graham, wrote in her book about the Daniel's Prayer. It's an amazing book. That's another book that any of y'all that are listening, you know, get it, because I guarantee you that it will change your life. And she said, this was, of course, way before the election, she was talking about what Daniel did different in his 21-day fast. Guess what he did? Every day he opened his windows and he looked toward Jerusalem, and he never wavered. And she said the most important thing in a time of prayer and fasting is that you remain consistent, committed, and obtain a persistence, let's say commitment. I'm so worked up right now. You got to stay committed, consistent, and persistent in what you do. And Daniel did it. I mean, and look what happened. So who's to say? I really do believe, I pray that as many people as they can, and all of us that are on the call tonight, please, let's do this. Let's commit to pray for everyone that comes on. And I believe there's someone that needs prayer right now. Is that right?
Yes, I just saw that. Did y'all see it?
Yes.
Okay, her name is Sharon Hembry. She's asking us to pray right now for a man. Can y'all see it better than me?
Yes, I can. It says, June, okay. I need some prayers right now. It says, for a man that lost his life last night to murder. He was like a son to me. I believe in God. I believe my belief in God is strong, but having a hard time right now. So we just need to pray for Sharon, and
yes,
let's just undergird her. That's what's so great about the body coming together.
Yes.
Would you like for me to pray, or are you going to pray?
Yes. Go ahead, Dr. Judy.
Father God, right now, those that are on this prayer line or on Facebook, we come before you in the power of agreement. And Lord, grief, and Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, for every activity under the heavens, there is a season, and grief is one of them. But Lord, during the process of grief for healing to come, we bring Sharon before you. And Lord, we come and we express to her, my dear sister, we're so sorry for your loss, but we come to you and we believe that through this situation that God is going to comfort you, because he's the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that, Lord, as you look to the hills from which cometh your help, your help comes from God above. He is not one that slumbers or sleeps. He is aware of your grief and every tear that has rolled down your cheeks from your eyes. We pray for Bobby Ward's family. We pray, Lord, that even through all of this, God, you turn the tables on the enemy. And those people that are part of this family or friends that are not saved, some kind of way, Lord, you intervene in Jesus' name. I want to just share one thing to Miss Sharon. My son hosted a conference. He was a youth pastor at Gateway Church. This past year, 5,000 youth showed up, and it blew my mind because there was a young man, I don't recall his name, he was a pastor, and he went off to go work out early in the morning before daylight, and a man came in there and killed his wife and his child. And this was heart-wrenching. This was horrible. This was, I mean, you know, it was just horrible. And the church was going down and all this kind of stuff. But this young man went to the jail and forgave these men. And it was a turnaround in the whole community and even people that would not go to church because of the act of grace started coming to church. The community's changed. His story has gone viral, and it is unbelievable. So, Miss Sharon, we're going to continue to hold you up in prayer. And God has no respect for a person. Grief is a process, but we're going to trust God that some kind of way good is going to come out of this, and people are going to come to Christ.
Yes, amen. Amen. Now, Dr. Judy, do you mind going in to Draw the Circle book and reading them what you read me today? That was powerful.
Well, one of the things that it is in the first port, you know, they have a little bit of an introduction, and what I loved about this was some of what they said on page 9, and it was amazing to me because he starts off and he's telling about Drawing the Circle as a sequel of sorts, and of course he refers to his book The Circle Maker. And when you begin to read some of it, he explains the significance about drawing the circle. Now, not everybody is going to do this, but there was a revivalist by the name of Rodney Gypsy Smith, and he was born on the outskirts of London, and he had no formal education whatsoever. But he was determined, in spite of not having a formal education, despite his humble origins, he was invited by two sitting United States presidents to the White House. Why? Because of how he was powerfully used of God. But all of this started out with the consecration of prayer. And so he had this expression when he would get up and speak about prayer. He would say, go home, lock yourself in your room, kneel down in the middle of the floor, and with a piece of chalk, draw a circle around yourself. There on your knees, pray fervently and brokenly that God would start a revival within that chalk circle. In other words, within you. And today when June and I were talking about this, that's exactly what she did, and she had this encounter. So I think it's very significant for us to realize that, you know, there are some logistics that we have to, you know, put in place. I want to challenge everyone that's listening to, you know, without a vision, the people perish. But can I tell you something, what I've experienced, and Magda and I were talking about this, and possibly she can share. Without a vision in your heart, you die, without purpose. And I believe that every individual on planet Earth, before they were ever formed in their mother's womb, they were destined for greatness. There are no second-class citizens on planet Earth, no failures. They respond to God's original intent for their life because we're all destined for greatness. And so, Magda, share with them some of what we had talked about what happens when we bombard them. Think of the families. You know, you have a testimony of where you fasted and prayed. Magda, a couple of years ago, I let her tell the story. She was on a mountaintop and ended down almost in the valley of destruction. But God, but what caused the restoration? And when God restores, and or God gives you a breakthrough, which the Hebrew word for breakthrough is lashah, when God gives you that, it's better than before. So because of your lifestyle of prayer, consecration, and fasting, give just a little significance of how, because I believe there's someone that's going to be listening that needs to know how they can turn their life around.
Yes, when the Bible speaks about my people perish without the vision, that word perish, the practical application of it is a slow death. So in actual fact, it says my people are dying a slow death because they have no vision. So slowly but surely we're dying. And just a little bit of my story. The Lord has really blessed me with an anointing to do business. And for years, I was very successful and I was a couple of million strong. And then had this Christian businessman convinced us to invest into a residential development. And the proceeds would have been enough to build the training center that we worked for so many years. And I made the decision to do the investment. And within 3 months, this man stole all those millions. Long story short, he went to prison and we lost the money, lost my homes, lost everything. At the same time, when I got to know that my husband had found himself a young 22-year-old, in my late 40s, I could not compete and I had to stand back. What am I saying? That even though we are prayer warriors and we pray and we fast, things go wrong. Somebody else comes into your life and they light a fire. It's not your fault. It's not what you didn't cause it. But you are sitting in the ashes. And if there's no vision, you will die a slow death. And this prayer and fasting is so essential because that is the key to unlock new life. Now, we cannot manipulate God. God is not manipulated by our prayer or our fast. What is he doing? We cannot manipulate him to say, oh, I'm laying my flesh here on the altar. He's not manipulated. So what is happening here?
Yeah.
God is just, I am honoring you.
Yes.
So God is honoring prayer. He's honoring fasting. And you know what? He does not take away the trials and temptations because we live in a world that is actually ruled by Satan. It's his domain. God gave it to him. But
right.
God promised, he said, I'm not going to take this away, but I will make you so strong that you will fly like an eagle. And you will look down, and as the chickens are fighting for a piece of something to eat and scrub in the dust, you will fly like an eagle, and all these things that will happen to you, you will be able to work through them and come out victoriously. God has restored my life.
Aww.
That it is impossible, actually, to in words describe. I have the most awesome husband. God has given me new businesses. Right now we are running 5 different businesses. God has opened doors. God has taken SheNet Global to another level. Although we've been working around the world for 19 years now, almost 20 years, God is making a new thing.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you that this prayer and fasting is not something that we are saying, okay, God, because I do this, you're going to do this and that. No, it's laying down on the altar and say, okay, Lord, I'm waiting for the glory that's going to come from your throne because you honor my obedience. So I want to encourage you all, okay? Just go for it and do it and be blessed.
I love it.
Yay, thank you, Magda. Thank you so much.
June, I also would like to say one other thing about fasting. If there's anyone that tunes in that maybe has never fasted before, it's, you know, this is very important that they drink plenty of water. Usually about the third day, sometimes you'll begin to detox a little bit, and you even have a couple of headaches or whatever. It does pass. Don't let that throw you for a curve. Whatever you seek the Lord and pray, Lord, what type of fast do you want me on? And remember this, that quality time, first thing in the morning on your knees, playing worship, whatever, that kind of sets the mood for the day. I have found personally, if I put doing everything at the end of the day, that's why I'm excited. And I know there's probably a lot of people that do not, they don't like to get up early in the morning, but you're going to be surprised at the time that you give to the Lord. Some kind of way he turns his clock and your time is actually increased. Worship is key. Get up and sing. It sets the atmosphere. You can get up and, you know, in the power of the tongue, there's life and death. I love to just get up, and sometimes I'll sing some of the Bethel songs outside out loud, and then sometimes I'll sing some of the old school songs. But just to get that heart, the key thing that God does or the Holy Spirit does in a time of fasting and prayer is you're actually putting your heart in his hand and saying, Lord, surrender. Your heart, your natural heart, has four valves, and I do a series on the four valves, and one of them is make sure there's no unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. And when you release any unforgiveness, that other valve will be filled with love. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, love covers a multitude of sin. But we can't love like that unless we forgive. And that third valve is peace. You talk about a peace, walking in a peace during this time. You know, I've been in stores before when I was in the middle of a fast, and somebody would say, you sure are a happy person. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. And I wasn't even smiling. But there's something about our countenance that changes from the inside that brings a glow. And that fourth vow, I call that the vow of faith, believing that, you know what, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to impact other people's lives. And there's just something that happens. But through worship, through prayer, through journal, and I know that sounds like a lot of stuff, but if you had the opportunity and a gate was open for you to step through a gate, and for you to step through that gate to be able to go to another level of part of your destiny, would you be willing to do it? What about the scripture where Jesus took two of the disciples up to the mountain and they were up there fasting and praying and seeking God, and they came down, and then the disciples that were left, I don't remember which all their names, but they said, what took place? We couldn't bring this healing and this deliverance to this. And he said, this type only comes out by prayer and fasting. Maybe there will be some people that will say, you know what? Something's going to happen during this fast that's never happened in my life before. And I believe that.
Amen. Definitely. I'm in total agreement. I'm very excited about it. I know, what do you think, Lindsay and Dr. Judy, about, you know, in America specifically, the way our country is right now, we've got Trump about to go in office. I mean, the nation is in transition. The bride is in transition. We all feel it in our spirit that we're about to embark on the greatest revival the world has ever seen. I mean, to me, it's like the perfect timing for the Holy Ghost to call us into time of prayer and consecration, you know, fasting and spending time with him. Because don't y'all feel that about the transition that's kind of going on right now?
Absolutely. And just to confirm, I just got a text from a woman in Dallas that has a powerful ministry, said, this is a reminder, Fasting and Prayer National teleconference call tonight at 8:15. So do you realize the amount of people that will possibly be doing this? And if it's been birthed in all of our hearts, can you imagine? And then we've got a confirmation right here telling me, hurry up to get on this conference call. I just believe this is going to be amazing. We might just be a small group, but hey, 12 disciples turn the world upside down.
Absolutely. Amen. What do you think, Lindsay? Lindsay, are you still with us? Oh, there she is. Hold on. Lindsay.
I'm sorry,
Lindsay, I had you on mute.
Oh, that's okay. I agree. It's a crucial time, you know, right now for not only the body of Christ and America. There's been a shifting, and a lot of people are sensing that shifting. I was just sharing not too long ago with some people at my church, and I was saying, you know, I just feel like there's a shifting coming. There's a shifting coming, and if you look on Elijah list, you'll see the shift. The word shift is there. And so I believe that as we come together in this corporate unity of prayer, this 40 days seeking the Lord for not only the body of Christ, our personal lives, our ministries that God has ordained us to be a part of, but also for America. And so there's, during this time, as we're transitioning into that new season, there's going to be that shift. And so I believe that some of it has already occurred, but we are going to be able to step into that after our 40 days of prayer and fasting are up.
Yes, amen. Now, y'all, if you don't mind, we're going to take a quick little commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to end this broadcast by each of us praying and praying for the nation and praying for the bride and then praying for the people that will be participating with us. Okay, we'll be right back.
Bride, are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
Okay, Bride, I'm going to read you something real quick before we get started with prayer. Like I said, if you get Draw the Circle, the 40-day prayer journal, prayer challenge, you will see every day the different challenges we'll take. And when we do the prayer call every day at 7:14 a.m., I posted the phone number on the WATB Facebook radio wall. Every day when we do this, we will go over each day's mandate according to this book. But this is what he says. This is Mark Batterson. If you press into God's presence like never before, you will experience God like never before. You'll look back on these 40 days as the best 40 days of your life. They won't be the easiest 40 days. In fact, they may be the hardest. But don't be surprised if you experience spiritual opposition along the way. But if you pray through, God will break through in new ways. It's as inevitable as the tide coming in. Now, there's nothing magical about 40 days. But there is something biblical about it. Now, Dr. Judy, how many times in the Bible did we do things in 40 days?
That's a good question. I'll have to do
Noah?
Some research on that.
No, Noah?
Hello?
Or can you hear me? Dr. Judy?
It's breaking. Yeah, it's breaking in two.
Okay, I was saying you think of Noah.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, Noah in the ark for 40 days, and you think Jesus fasting 40 days.
Well, and almost every prophet in the Word of God fasted. There were different ones that fasted 40 days. You know, today I was reading something that was so amazing, and that was in Acts 10 about Cornelius. And it said in the Word of God, it didn't say how many days, it didn't say where he prayed or what he prayed, but he was acknowledged as a man of prayer. And that impacted his family, that impacted the community, and it also sent Peter down there to start a move of God. So there's so many things that are connected to the 40 days, and I believe I would love to find out. I'm going to do some research. You got me challenged to find out. I'm going to look up every 40 day fast in the Bible and find out.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to. That's good. This is a 40 day challenge. So, Pastor Lindsay, you're going to have to help me on this now. We got to put this thing together. But you know, it's amazing. I know that there's a lot of evangelists. You know, June, I introduced you to Lil DeFin, Smith Wigglesworth's great-granddaughter. And we were talking about the many times that there were times where the move of God was contingent upon a fast. The Azusa Street Revival, that was a time of fasting and prayer. Well, how would you like for the Holy Spirit to tell you, like Seymour, to put your head, bury it in a box, you know, you're fasting and prayer. You know, anything worth fighting for, when I say fighting, I'm talking about warring in the spirit. Anything worth fighting for will always have value. And
yeah.
That's why I challenge each person. Get you out that vision board and say, you know, I've got a list of things that I am anticipating that he's going to do. But the most important thing I want him to do is I want my heart to be pure, and I want to be tangible. I want to be available. That's why broken vessels went back to the potter's house, that they could be shaped. You'd be surprised of what the testimonies that I've heard from people that dealt with certain issues, that when they started fasting, it was like, just like you go through a natural detox, there's a spiritual detox that takes place. Because why? You're crucifying your flesh. That's what happened with Jesus. He went. Yeah, he went, you know, he just had the heavens open, and his father say, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. I'd have been strutting my stuff probably, you know what I mean? I'd have been so excited. That's not what Jesus did, and he is the perfect example. Why did he go then? He went, and look what took place. And I believe that sometimes in our lives, just like in the natural body, we need to detox. I believe every day when we say, Lord, I'm coming into your presence. What grieves the Holy Spirit? Let's just be real. Carnality, flesh, you know, all the things. What happens when you fast and pray, one of the key things is the personality. The Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit become your character because it's humbling.
Right.
You don't pick it. And so I think that there's so many things, but I am like Pastor Lindsay, what she said, I believe this is part of the breakthrough of an awakening, of a move of God. Never have I seen in 38 years of ministry, have I seen in my travels as much chaos and crazy things that were going on in our nation. I can truly say every place I went, whether it was a small group of 50 people or a multitude of 2,000 or more, I saw a hunger for God. And I believe that this is what is it's going to be even a greater hunger. And when you hunger, what does it say? You'll be filled. When you seek him, you'll find him. When you knock, the door will be open.
Yes, Lord.
When you pray God's will, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in this earthen vessel, when you really are praying God's will, what do you think is going to happen? I believe he's going to answer a lot of our prayers. I'll tell you something else, June, that I truly do believe this first 40 days of the year is going to open the heart of compassion from the church, from us, to the downhearted, to the sinner, to the one that needs our help. And may we never look down on anybody that we can't pull up. May we open our heart of compassion to when we're standing in a grocery store and there's a lady there and the Holy Spirit quickens to us she doesn't have enough money to pay for her food. Or when it's you're, you know, in prayer early in the morning or late at night and all of a sudden at midnight, you know, pray for India, pray for Israel. We need to be praying for Israel every day. Pray
yes,
for nations. Pray for our future president as well
yes.
as our president. But pray
yes.
for protection around these that are going into office, that their families will be protected. There's just so many. I believe this fasting and praying is going to bring a sensitivity to the body of Christ that we haven't known in a while. That's what I want.
Wow. Amen. I'm tweeting what you're saying. What do you think there, Lindsay?
What I think, I think Judy's right, you know. This is a time and a place and a season for the rise and the great awakening. And many people, and, you know, not to downcast anybody, but we've looked down on those that have fallen short sometimes and not given them the grace that they've actually needed. And so, you know, when we come into this time of prayer seeking the Lord, I believe that, you know, just like Judy was saying, you know, our hearts will have that passion for the lost. Our hearts will once again have the passion to speak out his word and to speak out wherever we are, whether it's in the marketplace, in the grocery store, even in our backyard with our neighbor, when we talk to our neighbor who's, you know, struggling. I believe that we're not going to just bypass them no longer. This is a time and season where we can't do that any longer. We can't bypass anybody.
You know, June, I just found a scripture in the Jensen Franklin book. He says that in fasting, he said, I see evidence throughout the scripture. You know, because a lot of people might say, well, what do y'all get all this from? About why would you want to fast? Why would you want to pray? I see evidence throughout scripture that the men and the women of God who pressed in with fasting and prayer, even in difficult times, flourished. God provides. He provides because he is faithful to his word he promised. Psalms 92:12-15. You're going to love this, June. The righteous
yeah.
shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Franklin says, I don't know about you, but I take much more comfort and place much more faith in the promises of God than I do in the promises of government. Most spices from a palm tree grow in desert climates. Think about it. They become firmly rooted even in shifting sand by design. They tolerate high temperatures, little rainfall and high winds. And I really like this part. The palm trees produce a better fruit in old age. So I believe that God is up to something, and it's bigger than what we realize. And my prayer is that he will reveal himself to every individual.
Yes,
it takes
Lord.
On a 40-day prayer challenge to get in the circle, to be persistent, to be committed, and stay consistent to their prayer and not waver in trusting and believing that every promise in the Word of God is ours.
Amen. That is good. Now, Dr. Judy, can you lead us off tonight in prayer? If you, I would ask each of us to pray for different parts. If you would please pray, Dr. Judy, for the nation. If you would pray for the nation, and then you, Lindsay, if you would pray for the bride. Go ahead, Dr. Judy.
Father God, we want to come first with a praise that,
yes,
Lord, that there are so many people and so many amazing men and women of God that have prayed for a change in this nation, that there would be a great awakening, that there would be a shift, that there would be a restoration, that there would be, my prayer to the body of Christ is that we would become more sensitive to the Spirit of God's voice than the voice of man. Let us become more aware of your presence during this time of consecration, of prayer and fasting. Lord, I bring every political leader in this nation, the ones that are presently in office, and God, I bring the ones that are getting ready to go into office. And Lord, I thank you that you are our hope. Lord, all it takes is one prayer of a man or a woman with a pure heart to bring a paradigm shift, to bring restoration, what the caterpillar and the cankerworm tried to destroy. Lord, it's time for America to be great again. Lord, every time I think about George Washington flying that appeal to heaven flag, saying to God, God, if you don't help us win this battle, we're not going to win it. He was acknowledging that, God, you are our source. Lord, as I recall the prayers that some of the past presidents like Abraham Lincoln and other presidents have prayed, Lord, June and I were in our vehicle traveling where she took a picture of a huge mega truck that said from Trump, begging America, decreeing America, asking America to pray. And Lord, I don't remember any president in my lifetime being so expressive and so open with asking a nation to pray. I'm sure there have been presidents, but Lord, it was my first experience to see anything like that. Father, we thank you that there will be no hidden agendas of war with ISIS. There will be no more suicides. There will be no more. Lord, we're praying that crime decreases, but we're praying that those will come to the Lord, that the Holy Spirit will draw men and women, and there will be an awakening. It's not about the multitude. It can be one-on-one, or it can be like in L.A. where we were this past year. Lord, it can be in L.A. with 113,000 Christians gathered together. Whatever it takes, we pray and we commit this nation and its future into your hands. Raise up intercessors from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Raise up intercessors that will go into their prayer closets and will not come out. I thank you, Lord, for apostles in this nation that you will reveal revelatory knowledge based on the need of the hour, and that apostles will raise up sons and daughters and desire to see them surpass anything they've ever done. I thank you that prophets are coming out of hiding, and that, Lord, there are trained prophets are speaking the word of the Lord, and just like the story of Elijah and Elijah, Lord, I thank you that the voice of the prophet shall be heard in this nation. We thank you, God, that evangelists, that they are going to come, and the most important thing in their heart is to see no one left behind. We thank you, Lord, for pastors that truly take that shepherd's pouch and go out for that one lost sheep. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for grace. And I'm not talking about the grace that so many are criticizing. I'm talking about my own personal belief. Grace is when I couldn't hold on to you, you held on to me.
Yes.
Allow, like Lindsay said, to release grace to people and to love them, love them back to God. We thank you for teachers that will equip and train in a dimension of the Spirit that's never been known before, because we're ready to go from glory to glory, and we pray for this nation diligently. In Jesus' name, plead the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you so much. All right, Miss Lindsay, if you would please pray for the bride as a whole.
Sure. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to bring your bride to the throne, Father. We are a people that you have chosen, and a people that are destined for greatness.
Mm.
And Father, Lord, I ask that as we seek first the kingdom of God, as we seek your face, that all things will become available to us for not our personal use, but for the kingdom purpose, Father. Lord, I ask, Father, that you would sow a seed of compassion and passion for people that are lost, that are hurting, that have been abandoned, who are wounded. Father, that we would not leave them by the wayside, Father, but, Father, that we would come by just as Peter and John did when they went to the Gate of Beautiful and saw the man who was blind begging. And he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. Rise up and walk. And so, Father, Lord, let us come when we see bystanders to not only sit there and pat them on the shoulder and say, bless you, but to be able to pick them up and show them the way into greatness that they have been called and destined for before creation. And so, Father, Lord, I thank you that as the body of Christ rises up, they begin to understand their identity. They'll begin to understand that those things that seemed impossible to man are not possible with them, because there's one that's greater that's on their side, and his name is Jesus. And so, Father, Lord, I thank you that those things that seemed impossible for the natural man will not be impossible for the body of Christ in this season, in this time, in this nation, in Jesus' name.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and pray for all of the ones that are going to participate with us. Lord, we pray for all of the bride that's going to be participating in this 40-day fast, God. We pray that they would have a supernatural encounter with the Holy Spirit. Lord, reveal yourself to us, Lord. Reveal yourself. Bring revival within our hearts, Lord, and let all of the roots in us that hurt us from flourishing as a tree and flourishing with beautiful fruit, Lord, let all those rotten roots come to the surface so we can deal with them before the throne and cut those things off so that we can be pruned. Use this 40 days, Lord, to prune our trees. Prune us, O God, so that we can come out of this bearing the biggest, most beautiful fruit for the kingdom of God. And that we would march in the army of the living God, knowing who we are in Christ and knowing who we are in the kingdom and taking the kingdom by force in 2017. Father God, we thank you for the window of opportunity being opened with Trump going in, Lord, as president, and us having this opportunity to be able to advance in the kingdom in the United States of America, Lord. We pray, I agree with Dr. Judy in praying for Trump, Lord, that he would be safe, Lord. Put angels around him and protect him, Lord. But, Lord, I pray for all of us that are participating in this, Lord, that you help us to stay focused during the next 40 days, that we would have clarity, that we would have resolve, that we would have persistence, that we would set a standard and we would go by that standard, that we would set times, that we would sit with the Holy Ghost, and that we would take this as serious as the next breath, Lord. And God, I thank you that you will meet that challenge, Lord. You will meet that spirit of excellence, and you will help us, Lord, to advance to the next level, God. We thank you for Dr. Judy, Lord, and for her leading us in this charge, Lord, and her having the heart that she does for prayer, Lord, all the many times over the years that she has rallied your peoples together, Lord, and called us all to prayer, Lord. Bless that woman, Lord, everything in her life. Bless her, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to partner with heaven with what you want to do in the kingdom, Lord. So help us to have the heavens opened for our spirit ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and that we would be charged by your Spirit, Lord. And we thank you and give you praise for it, God. And, Lord, for these prayer calls that we'll be doing every day and the once-a-week live prayer broadcast that we'll be doing on WATB Radio, and the ones that are participating will be a part of that call, Lord. We pray that every one of us, Lord, will be able to do this with great resolve, Lord. So we thank you and give you praise for what you're going to do in this 40 days, Lord. We're very excited, Lord. We thank you and give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Bride, listen, there's three different ways we're going to participate in this program, and Dr. Judy and Lindsay, let me know if I missed something. Number one, we're going to do prayer calls every day. I posted the phone number on the Facebook wall. The phone number is 712-775-7031. The access code is 360718. We will call in every morning, 7:14 a.m. Central Standard Time. Me, Dr. Judy, and Lindsay, we will either all be on the call or at least one of us on the call. Every day we'll meet at that time to consecrate and set ourselves aside with the Lord. We will pray during that time, share praise reports, revelations that God has given us. And don't y'all too see that that will be just advancing as the time goes on?
Yes, June, absolutely. Could you please quote the number again of the conference call? There was a breaking. So could you once again give the 712 number for us?
Yes, ma'am. 712-775-7031. And the access code is 360718.
Awesome.
Okay, Bride, and also once a week, now, Dr. Judy, are we doing these on Monday nights, the live radio broadcast? Will it be on Monday nights?
I believe whatever y'all, I'm available. I will make myself available whatever day you want to give it. It's fine.
I believe Monday nights is good. What about you, Lindsay?
Sounds good to me.
Okay,
start
so Monday night,
right.
We're going to do what?
Start that week off right.
Amen. Monday nights will be perfect. So Monday nights we'll dedicate 7 o'clock to live prayer reports. We will keep records during the week when people call in with praise reports. We'll report those live Monday nights on the radio. This whole project ends February 10th. Now, listen, Bride, you can go to our website. We have a place for you to find out more information and a place for you to register at wearethebride.us/2017 Prayer Initiative. Just go to wearethebride.us and you'll see the link right there. Thank you so much for tuning in with us tonight. God bless you. And we look forward, Bride, to partnering with you in prayer and seeing the kingdom of God advanced. Amen. God bless you, ladies. Thank you so much for being on the broadcast tonight.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Blessing. God bless you. Good night. Good night, Magda. Love you.
Good night. Love you back.
God bless you. Y'all have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Love you.